Hello and welcome to the Entrepreneur Show. This is your divinely queer host, Asa Laveau. So glad to have you. If you didn't know, I'm letting you know now. You are in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And if you're not really sure what that reason is, it is so that I, Asa Laveau, as well as other entrepreneurs, can have an intersection between business and life. What that was for me, how I found out that I didn't even have that intersection, or I didn't have the necessary playground that had that type of equipment, was when I noticed that I had to separate my talking. What does that look like? Well, it looks like part of my day, I'm talking about sales, marketing, operations, finance, accountability. I'm talking about lead pages. I'm talking about ad accounts, talking about target markets. And then I had to cut all of that off just so I could talk about a ballroom. And for those of you who don't know about the ballroom scene, that think about the show's called Show of Pose. Think about the documentary from the late 80s called Paris is Burning. Thinking about the fact that I actually like watching RuPaul's Drag Race. So how can I, as an entrepreneur, how can I combine both of those conversations together? Well, that's how I started the Entrepreneur Show with Asa Laveau. And I am happy, glad, ecstatic that you have decided to join me today to go a little bit further within that. So, one thing about entrepreneurs is that we never want to forget or act like business isn't the main reason why we are here. Of course we want to have a good time. Of course we want to go to brunches and look great while we're brunching. Those are all real. Of course we want to be people of substance, and we also want to make money. I am not fraudulent about that idea. We desire to make money. And one of the things that will help you make money is something called getting your ads together. And you may be someone like, Asa, I don't even have ads. I'm not running ads right now. I just started my business. So I think about starting my business. Like, why are you talking about ads already? Well, I'm talking about ads because up until now, we haven't discussed that on the show yet. So it is going to be imperative that you consider this, and that for this episode, even though it's recorded, go ahead and get your pen and paper out. Totally get your pen and paper out, because we have a guest for you today that I believe is going to make a big difference for you. This person has actually been, she has a podcast of her own, and it's called The Ads Maven. She does coaching in this space. She does ad management. And so I'm going to do my best to ask her questions for you that would help you when you're starting. And even though I've done ads, I just want to make sure I let you guys know this is going to be an important show. Yes, you may be able to laugh. Yes, you may be able to feel good. But this is where you come to learn and actually get your questions answered. I will definitely make sure I connect with her after the show. But for right now, I'm stalling. As you can see, I'm stalling because I want you to get your pen and paper out. So I'm going to give you a countdown. You have 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Jen Posick to the show. Hello, Jen. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing exquisitely well.
Thank you so much for having me. And I loved hearing your intro and talking about the ball scene and all of that. Cause my wife and I are also big fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, even though it is problematic at times. Also Dragula. And from that, I watched Paris is Burning to learn more about it, cause I just didn't even know. And then Pose has done so much for educating everybody around the ball scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And so, first off, again, thank you for being on the show. I do not take it lightly whenever there is a guest that has come on. So what the first question, though, the very first question I have for you is not about business at all. Is that okay for me to ask that?
Of course.
Okay. What I want to know is more about you, Jen, the person, before I get to you, Jen, the entrepreneur, because I also want everyone to realize that's listening that we are human beings and we are not human doing. So the most precious thing about us is the way that we be. And so with that, a couple questions I want to ask you. Well, I'll just ask you two. First thing is, so far, well, let me ask this one. What's the best way for someone to love you?
Oh, that's a good question. So it's funny, the first way for, well, it's different when it's like my partner versus like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm not a very like huggy person unless it's like with my wife. But in general, I give very awkward hugs. So it's probably like more the words of affirmation are probably more for like friendships. Yeah.
Got it. Totally get that. And then the last one I have is with everybody that has lived before you up until now, all the ages and ages and ages of people, how are you your ancestors' wildest dream?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Holy cow. So it's interesting because I took one of those I took one of the DNA ancestry
tests. Oh, really?
Yeah, and it basically told me exactly what I already knew, but it was still really interesting to learn. So essentially, I'm really very white and then also Jewish. And
okay.
So 50% is European Jewish. And so my dad's side of the family, a lot of them escaped from Poland around the time of the Holocaust and all of that. And I have some family that died during it. And then 25% is German. And then also just like English and stuff like that, which comes from my mom's side, which I think is just the most fascinating piece that I have like both German and Jewish parts to me. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's kind of like this really cool intersection of all the pieces of me coming together to kind of show that like you can just like love and like that combination together, that it's totally possible,
right,
and doable. And then I guess it's like the fact that I have my business and that I'm like actually like going out and doing it on my own. I feel like for my parents especially, it, like that's a big thing too, because I'm actually like doing it, you know? Does that make sense?
I do. It makes total sense.
Okay.
because not all of us have come from lines of business owners, lines of entrepreneurs. And so for us to be out on our own, just to subscribe to the notion that we could do something on our own and there are people in the world that would pay money for it is a novel idea.
Yeah.
And that's I get that. Totally get that. So with that being said, being the Admazon, what made you come, how did you get that particular nickname or moniker?
Oh, that's a good question. So when I was starting my podcast, I knew I needed a name for it. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted it to be. And I was running it by some people in my mastermind. And they were helping me come up with some possible titles. And as soon as one of them said, you could call yourself the Ads Maven, I was like, oh, yeah. Like that just like kind of rang true for me. And several years ago, I got to go on a trip to Japan with one of my clients, which was amazing. And in the promotion of it, it was talked about how I was like a social media maven, which it was not something that I had like put for myself. It's like a title that she had just given me. And I don't know, there's something about the word maven that it just really resonates. So yeah.
I get that. So how long have you been doing ads?
Yeah, so I got started back in 2015 running ads. I got started in 2014 working with my family's business. And at the time, so they have a health and wellness business, and I just knew we needed an online presence. And I just started learning everything I could from everywhere I could and really following digital marketing tactics. So I started growing our email list. And then as soon as I started running ads to grow our email list so that then we could sell to the list, it just put our business on hyperdrive and everything was so much faster. And so a little while after that, I started my own business, just kind of teaching what I know and helping others with it too.
That is okay. So 5 years so far that you've been doing it.
Yep.
There are a lot of things that have happened since 2015.
Did I say five?
Okay. I don't remember. That's why I made sure I asked. Okay. So 2015 until now, that's 5 years. There has been a lot in the digital marketing space, as well as ads, to include algorithms, to include new places where you can place your ads. On.
Sure.
So a lot has happened in the last 5 years. Could you tell us what is something over these last 5 years or some things that have in the last 5 years that have remained constant?
Oh, yeah. So the overall strategy that I was using back then is still effective now. And it's really interesting because, like, obviously some of the nuance of it has changed. But when it comes to anything that we're selling, we buy from those we know, like, and trust. And it really is true for, I mean, I think anything that you're doing, you're warming people up, giving them value so that then you're selling to them once they already know, like, and trust you. And so that overall strategy with ads has been effective from when I started to now. And so that looks, it can look a few different ways, but it'll be running ads to a cold audience to like your freebie or your lead magnet to get them started in your world. And then if it's, like running ads to your warm audience for something that's paid or for like a webinar where you're giving a little bit more value. And then at the end of the webinar, you're offering a discovery call into one of your programs. So those were effective then. They're still effective now.
Got it. Okay, how do I want to do this? Because we have people that are listening right now. Because most of the time, our listeners are just now starting businesses.
Okay.
And they really don't know what to do. So what would you say would be, if we could walk them through the first 3 to 5 things that they need to do to start an ad campaign? Regardless of where they are, what are those 3 to 5 things?
Okay, so the first thing is you want to make sure that you have a strategy that's fully thought out behind it. Because I see so many people just run one-off ads or they boost posts. And 95% of the time, that's going to waste your money. So I do not recommend running an ad without fully thinking it through and having a strategy in place. So,
okay. The question you have, excuse me, you said the strategy. there are people who don't understand the word strategy. As someone who's who has 18 years prior military, I definitely understand the word strategy versus tactic. Is there another word we can use instead of strategy to help them understand it better?
I mean, essentially, you just want to make sure that you have a plan. I think a plan.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Just make sure that you have a plan in place for what you're doing so that you're not going in there and just seeing that boost post button on your Facebook post or that promote button on your Instagram post and just pressing it and spending money, because that's basically a surefire way to just give your money away.
Okay. Got it. Yes. Agreed. Should the plan include something? Should the plan include our long-range vision for the ads to work, what our daily goal is? What should that plan have so that we know it's, in fact, a real plan?
Yeah, so you want to think about...
And I know I'm getting in the weeds, I know.
No, you're fine, though. Essentially, you want to know what's the main goal for your ad. What do you want it to actually accomplish? Do you want people to sign up for your email list? Do you want it to sell a program or a service? Do you just want people to engage on a post or watch a video? Because depending on what that goal is, you're going to run the ad totally differently. And yeah, as long as if your overall goal is different, it's going to look different in how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay, great. So the first thing, everyone listening, Jen just said that the first thing you need is a plan. So write out how you're going, what their intention is behind this. What's your reasoning for even doing the ad? Okay, great. What's the second thing?
Okay, so the next thing, and this is very similar, but I want to talk a little bit about, you need to kind of understand how the Facebook algorithm works. So let's talk a little bit about that now. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, please, because that is a real thing.
Okay, yeah, it definitely is. So the algorithm, first off, it's brilliant. It knows way too much about us. It kind of knows more than your best friend does, because it's always getting smarter. It's kind of like a living thing as well, which is a little creepy, but helpful for us as business owners, because it's always growing and getting smarter because it's learning more every day. So it learns about us based on what activities we take on Facebook. It learns about us through what we're doing online. Any place the Facebook pixel is, it's able to learn what we're doing. And so the Facebook pixel, it's kind of like Google Analytics. It's a small piece of code that just tracks where we go and what we do. So the best part about the Facebook algorithm, though, is it knows how we use Facebook. So you can give it an audience of people and it's going to know who in that audience is most likely to just keep on scrolling, who's most likely to engage, who's most likely to click, and who's most likely to actually convert and sign up for your email list or convert into a sale. So because of that, we're able to use that to our advantage. If our goal is to get somebody to sign up for our email list, when we run the ad, we're going to run the ad for conversions. Whereas if our goal is to get somebody just to watch a video, or you just want more engagement on your page or on your posts, we could run the ad for video views or for post engagement instead.
Yes, very true. Very, very true. Okay. So you said the first thing, just to recap, the first thing was to understand that you have to have a plan. The next thing is to understand Facebook's algorithm. And one also thing about Facebook's algorithm is that sometimes it does things and you have absolutely no idea nor control about what's going on.
Yep.
And you must tweak things. So family that is listening, entrepreneur family that is listening, please realize that this is not always a set it and forget it tactic or plan. This is something that you will have to, the first 24, 40 hours, you will see some things, or you may not see anything. And you might want to tweak some things. Some people wait until 30 days to tweak. Some people wait a week to tweak. With the algorithm, what has been your, I guess, the way you do things, Jen, with how long do you wait to see how Facebook is responding to an ad?
So I suggest you always wait at least 48 to 72 hours before you make any changes, because the algorithm does need some time. Now, if you're not spending very much on your budget, it can take a little bit longer for the algorithm to kind of figure out what it's doing and who it's giving it to. So sometimes you'll wait a little bit longer than the 72 hours. However, if your ad has been running for 48 hours and nobody is signing up for stuff, something is going wrong. And so at that point, I'll stop the ad, I'll make some edits, and I'll get a new ad going to test stuff. One of the other things with that, the algorithm does not do very well with changes. So instead of actually going in and editing the existing ad that's currently running, I suggest instead you would want to duplicate the ad and then make the edits in the new ad. So just turn off the one that is not doing what you want it to do, duplicate, and make edits in the new one.
That is a very good point. I mean, a very good piece of advice to duplicate, then change. Thank you for that. It's been a long time since I've heard someone say that. So yeah, that's a very good one. Before we continue, my question also comes with, okay, I've talked to many queer identified entrepreneurs, LGBTQ plus entrepreneurs, and one of the things that they are actually not terrified, but scared or thoughtful about is how they can come off authentically in their ads, because they don't want to shy away from the fact that they are queer identified, but they also don't want to piss people off in the process. So if someone came to you like that and they're like, how do I construct this ad while still being authentic to myself, but still being quote unquote, you know, business minded?
Right.
Is there anything that you would offer to them?
Yeah. So I am fully on board for being authentic and just showing up as you. And I think that however that plays out is going to be however you typically talk to your clients. So, I mean, I don't think you, like, as long as you're just like out in general, I think it's like you talk to people on Facebook in a more casual way anyways. Depending on the business, but in general, especially if you're a personal brand, you want your authenticity to just kind of come off anyway. So you're going to speak to them pretty casually. So I think it just kind of like naturally shows through. And I honestly wouldn't worry about it too much. The only things that I would be concerned about is making sure that it's still following like Facebook terms of service. So you don't want to be cursing in your ads, because Facebook will most likely not approve those. So if you're doing a video, you just want to make sure that you're not cursing in that. And you don't want to call people out either. So that's the other thing. Like, you can talk about yourself. You could talk about, you can use we and they, but you couldn't run an ad that's like, hey, fellow like entrepreneurs, like that would probably not be approved. Well, because that Facebook might not recognize that term, that might be, but you probably wouldn't want to say like my fellow queer entrepreneurs. Does that make sense? Are you there?
I'm sorry. Yes, you are totally right. You cannot use queer in an ad. Some of you guys know that I have a nonprofit, and one of our initiatives is called Queer School. And Queer School has a Facebook page and an Instagram page. And guess what? We've run ads for them, successful ads, and we had to tweak the, even if we had the image you write, we had to take every queer, the actual word queer, out of the copy of the ad. Because, be right, I'm like, that's not a bad word for all of us. So I definitely remember that. That is so very real. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And also, the authentic piece. I like to just side angle there really quick before we go back into the 3 to 5 steps, because I'm getting that too a little bit with the entrepreneur space as a whole, as well as the entrepreneur space. So people have this thinking sometimes that to be authentic means to cuss. To be authentic means to call people out. To be authentic means to say all of these different things. Now, you please understand, if those of you are listening, I am a cusser. I cuss very well. And I have been cussing in my brand for years. I just don't cuss all the time. I just don't do it for shock value. I don't do it for what have you. Like, if I feel the need to, I do it. I just have it. Like in this episode, there hasn't been anything that has caused me to say that. So, with that being said, your authentic self is not the totality of the words you would say. Because if in fact your vocal cords somehow were removed from your person, who are you authentically now? Without the use of your voice, who are you really? And that may be a deeper conversation to have with yourself, but it's an important conversation to have, because sometimes we are so loud, maybe in our volume, or loud with being crass or over the top, quote unquote over the top, and we're saying it's authentic, but that's not the totality of authenticity. I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that going forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that you're so right.
Well, cool. Thank you for that. Okay, so we have the plan. We have the algorithm. What was number three?
Oh, I don't think I actually shared number three.
We never got there. That's right. Okay, go ahead.
Gosh, so I feel like there's a lot of things I could share, but one of the things that I will tell you, make sure that you know who you're running your ad to. Make sure you know who your ideal audience really is. And the more you know them, the more you know how you're going to speak to them, how your copy is going to look, how you're going to show up in your videos. And it's going to be that much easier to find them within your ads, because there's literally millions of ways that we can target our audience inside Facebook. And Facebook's audience section has just gotten better and better over time. So the more we know about our audience, the better our ads are going to be, the better the cost we're going to get.
I have to totally agree with you on the audience part. For those entrepreneurs that are listening, please know that I've told you all before that the most important thing about business, especially marketing overall, is understanding who your target market is. Target market has a couple of different names. You have client avatar, target market, target audience, whoever your ideal prospect is. That's imperative. So again, back to when we were running ads for queer school, some of you may not know that you can be so specific in your ads that I actually wanted people who did think, like I wanted people who knew about RuPaul's Drag Race. And so that's an identifier. So people who actually like the show and the person, and people who did not watch Fox News. So you can actually say,
That's a great way to target them. Yep.
It was. And so I'm very good about picking what I want them to be interested in, and things that if you're interested in these things, I would rather you not see this ad. It's not that you're not of value. It's not that you're not loved. It's that in my mind and in my experience, my ideal person would not do these things and would do these things.
Yep. Exactly. And Facebook has this layered targeting that makes it so easy to do that. Because you could even do people who are interested in RuPaul or interested in Drag Race. And they are also Facebook page admins or business page admins or small business owners. And then you can also exclude people interested in Fox News or interested in 45 or other things that note that they might not be your ideal audience.
Right. Now, I will say, if you're looking to do a lot of political things, they've definitely removed, since 2016, they've definitely done, I guess, a significant job in removing things that can allow you to really market to a particular political person. So, for instance, a few years ago, I was able, if I wanted to really go after a conservative person in middle America. I could definitely do that. And now I'm not able to. No, we're not able to do that.
Right. Though you can still, you could target based on interest. So,
exactly.
Obama is an interest that you can target based on. Target people that are interested in Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or whoever. And then you could also exclude people that way as well.
Exactly. Yes, that has been great. So let's really just quickly talk about the money, because I think there's a fear with the ads thinking, oh, I don't have $1,000. Well, nobody said you had to have $1,000.
Yeah. So one of the things that I actually really love about Facebook and Instagram ads, and when I say Facebook ads, I'm really talking about both, because Facebook, Instagram, and so you run both from the Ads Manager platform. As opposed to like traditional print marketing. So with my family's business, we used to run ads in a free health and wellness magazine that is like nationwide. And when we would do that, so they're spending a few thousand dollars well before it goes to print. It's on the stands for a good month. And so it's a few months before they have any idea, and they've already paid the money, before they have any idea whether or not those ads were at all effective. When it comes to Facebook and Instagram ads, again, that 48 to 72 hours, you know whether or not your ad is working, because either you're getting results and you like the cost that you're getting them for, or you're getting no results, or you're getting results for too high of a cost. And so if you don't like the results, you just stop the ads. So in general, I do suggest for most of your goals, if it's anything to do with taking people off of Facebook and into your own world, so like signing up for your email list, signing up for a webinar or an online challenge or anything like that, I suggest a minimum of $10 a day. But I also suggest really budgeting at least $500 for the month. Now, the reason I say that $10 a day is per ad that you're running. So if you want to do Facebook ads, they do take time. They take testing. So a lot of times I like to test multiple audiences, or I'll test a video versus a graphic or different copy, just to see what's going to be the most effective. And for everything that you're testing, I would suggest $10 a day at least per thing that you're testing. So that's why typically I do say $500 to budget for the ad spend. But if you're really going on, like if you're like, all right, I've got $300 for the month, you could do it. It just might be that it takes a little bit longer to figure it all out. But that's fine, you know?
Yeah. So thank you for that. That was... I totally agree with everything that you said. Totally agree. And I also appreciate everything that you have said thus far. This has been a very good, no fluffy attached to it. I like these type of conversations. A lot of times when I hear podcasts or lives and stories about ads in general, what I see is a lot of people talking around the subject. I'm like, are we going to talk about ads or no? Like, I just hear motivation, and this is pissing me off. So I am thankful, very thankful, that you have come. And my final question, or one of my final questions to you is, so you have an entrepreneur who is listening right now, and they like what you said, they've taken notes, they understand, they see how ads can make a big difference in their business, and they still would like for someone to hold their hands throughout the process. And they now, as a result of the conversation, understand that Asa LaVeau does not do that. So since Asa LaVeau does not do that, where can they go to have you hold their hand or get even more information?
Yeah, so my website, jenpasek.com. You could also go to theadsmaven.com if the spelling of that is a little bit easier. To get more information, you can also check out my podcast, The Ads Maven, on your favorite podcast app. And I'm happy to chat and talk about what your goals are and your strategy and see how I can help.
That's good. So guys, go to the website, actually subscribe to her podcast, leave reviews on her podcast. If you're unsure why I am telling you to go to her podcast, because I don't believe in competition. I don't. Nobody does the entrepreneur show like me, and no one does the Ad Maven show like her. So I believe that we complement each other. There really is no competition. Even if there was another show that talks to queer identified entrepreneurs, they're still, you know, they're just, there's enough for everybody.
I feel like especially with podcasts, I feel like if you're a podcast listener, you don't just listen to one podcast. Like even, so I listen to like 3 to 4 different Drag Race podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah. A good point. So please know that I want you to go support her. I want you to learn more, because ads will definitely, it can exponentially increase revenue in your business, exponentially increase viewership, exponentially increase followers. If you know what you're doing, take your time. This is not something that you want to get frustrated with. This is not something that you're going, if you're trying to make fast and quick money, like within 2 days, most times, this is not it. Now, if you go to a webinar and the person gets you into the webinar and they say, how I made $10,000 in 2 days with ads, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take, usually for that type of return, they're pumping a lot of money into their ad spend a day to make that happen. Because even though they got $10,000, even though they received $10,000 in the 2 days, they may have spent $50,000 in ads.
Absolutely.
Literally. So please understand, people really do see Facebook and Instagram ads as ATM machines, or cash exchanges. Like, they put so many in, they've got it down to a science now. They just expect so much money to come back out, and it does work for them on a very high end. So with that being said, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I have been delighted this entire time you have been on. Thank you for not being boring. thank you for actually knowing the subject in which you say you know.
Oh my goodness. The fact that you feel like you have to thank me for knowing the subject I say I know. Oh no.
Well, you know, I've met some people and I'm like, so you just picked this week, didn't you? You said, I do this thing this week, and you have nothing to say. If there's somebody like me that has been in business since 2012, I'm like, I have answers for your questions, and I have questions for your answers, right, if they exist. So yes, I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. I am, thrilled to be here.
Great. So everyone, please go leave a review. Let us know what you thought about the show. There are going to be details in the show notes about how you can connect with Jen. Please remember, I am here for you. If you would ever want to know how I could support you, go to support.acelaveau.com. And as always, I am Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings.